If you like what I do with this podcast and what we talk about, and you think it helps you and will help others, then there are a few things I need you to help me with that are all free to you so that this podcast and its reach may grow. Number one, subscribe to the podcast. Number two, subscribe to the New Numa Godcast Live YouTube channel. Number three, tell a friend or family member about the podcast. Number four, give the podcast a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, along with an inspirational comment about how great the podcast is. Thanks again for showing love and support. Peace.
Hey, this is Katie Waters. You're listening to New Numa Podcast. Tune in every week for a new podcast and make sure you subscribe.
This podcast has been a blessing to you. It would really help if you were to support the podcast financially. Just imagine if you just gave $5 or $10 a month. You would never miss it. Please consider helping me to spread the gospel to this dying world in a real and unapologetic way. You may donate to the cause by using Cash App at $NewNuma, which is spelled P-N-E-U-P-N-E-U-M-A. That's two different words. P-N-E-U-P-N-E-U-M-A. Or you may go to anchor.fm/new-numa and donate there. Once again, thanks for showing love and support. Peace.
Active. And 13, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now, we know not just because of denominations, you could even have people in the same denominations, but we know people of the faith are not unified across the universal body of Christ. So I hope that y'all not playing with us to say that you think that we're all unified, because that's foolishness. And it says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we as a universal church have not reached the fullness of Christ. And then it even goes on to say in 14, that we henceforth be not more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I'll just read this one last part. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we could take the time to really break that down, even going further on, but it's basically making the point that these gifts are going to remain as long as the body of Christ is on this side of the return of Christ, until Christ returns, which is the same point Norman just was bringing out. And so, man, nonstop, we have so much in here that we know that people want to rationalize the supernatural and say that it's not done, it's done away with, because they want to justify them being powerless. And they want to justify the fact that they don't operate in the gifts, and they're trying to figure out, well, how can I still show that I'm pious or I have righteousness, or I'm walking with God and I'm not doing any of these things that the early church was doing? I have to give a reason for why I'm not doing it. And because I have lack of faith and I disbelieve that God can use me, even though the scripture says these signs will follow those who believe. But because of my doctrine and because I'm limited in that, now I'm trying to make a whole doctrine and say other people can't do it or shouldn't do it or operate in it. So it's a travesty, it's false doctrine. But clearly the scriptures support. There's nowhere in the scripture where it does not support us flowing in the spiritual gifts and flowing in charisma and the charismatic graces of God and the seals of Christ through his ministry gifts. Because these are really, one other thing I want to say about that, these are not gifts that we own. We are stewards of his own ministry. This is his power, his ministry, his grace that he actually allows us to participate and be fellow workers with him and be stewards of his ministry on earth while he's in heaven. But these cannot be, they can't be done away with, because Christ is alive and his ministry is still going on. So in order to prove that these gifts are done away with, you have to prove that Christ's ministry is no longer in effect. That's craziness.
Yeah. So moving on, we're going to move on to the next point.
How many more we got tonight? How many more we doing?
So we're gonna do just one more.
Okay.
This is the one where, you know, people they might kind of put this in the category of name it and claim it. So I want to make something clear before I say this, though. The Word of God does say something about, you know, speaking those things that be not as though they were. It also talks about us being made in the image and likeness of God. And what did God do to create everything that he created? He spoke it into existence.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking things into existence is not a false doctrine. That is actually biblical, strongly seen in the Word of God, specifically in the beginning, especially. So we have a precedence for that. But here we go in John chapter 14, and I think that there's something to be said about this that will, I think, is going to clarify some things. While I'm looking for that one, while I'm looking at that one, though, can you find the one that says, if you believe you receive, you shall have it?
Okay.
All right, so John chapter 14, verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Oh my goodness, that just confirmed what we were just talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Yes, sir.
So, but then he says, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you. Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to bring it out too quick or too... my brother and I had something brewing. I'm going to just say it like that. He just said the Spirit of truth is who he's going to pray that will come, the Comforter. But he says he's with you. I wonder how.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to leave that alone for now. Dennis and I are going to get into that. We're going to have a podcast about that right there. Anyway, it says, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and you and shall be in you.
That's it.
We get into something that a lot of people don't want to hear. That's for sure. It's going to start to challenge your theology when you hear what we're talking about, what this is talking about. This is being very clear, but people overlook it all the time, and they don't want to receive it. They don't want to believe it because they keep on believing what's been taught for generation upon generation. I'm sorry to say, but a lot of the things that we've been taught for generation upon generation was wrong. They weren't teaching. Yes.
They weren't like intentionally teaching false doctrine, but they were in error, okay? And now some of those errors are starting to be corrected as the Holy Spirit is starting to bring light to things. But anyway, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Oh my God. He said, yet a little while and the world sees me no more, but you see me, I live, you shall live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that has my
real quick, something sounds different with your volume right now. Is it being covered?
No, I haven't done anything. I haven't changed anything over here.
Okay. Okay.
Unfortunately, I'm sorry, people. If I'm not able to hear myself, so I don't know if something changed.
But sounds robotic. Okay. But I don't know if it's going to clear up or not, or if you want to mute and unmute.
Okay. All right, I'm muted and unmuted. Did that change anything?
Just a little bit better.
Okay. So that's the last verse. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. All of this in this verse leads up to chapter 15, which talks about abiding. And the bottom line is this. When he was talking about anything you ask in his name, that's for people who abide in him. That's not saying any and everybody can just be saying, I'm going to pray this in the name of Jesus, amen. Nah, that's not what that means.
Right.
It's talking about people who are abiding in him. This is why it's important for you to read what came after this, and even what was said before this, to get the whole context of what's being said here. He said, you got to abide in him and he in you. That's in chapter 15, because it said, those that do not abide in him, he will cast off, he will prune them, he will cut them off. Okay? So anyway, that's what do you want to say to that, man? What do you want to add to that, that last?
Yeah, I mean, when it speaks to when we are speaking and we're abiding in him, we're not even speaking from our own self. We're speaking as he is speaking. We're speaking in his stead or being his representative. So we're speaking, we are in the Father's will. We're coming from and speaking from his own spirit. And so it's not really even us in our flesh. We're in direct alignment with him. And so, of course, he's going to bring to pass his own will. And he has a willing and obedient vessel that is yielded to coming into alignment with what he wants to happen anyway. Now he has a vessel to bring it to pass. Of course, it's going to happen. So like you said, I think it's a good point. It does not speak to just, I want a Ferrari or whatever out of the blue, and God is just going to just magically give you one just because you spoke it. Like that is foolishness. And I think that some people get into the, once again, going back to what we talked about before, covetousness. And then they want to use the Bible to justify their covetousness. And they're not abiding in him at all. So, and I think that goes into the same, the scripture you wanted me to pull to reinforce that. I think it says it good, because it's right after he cursed the fig tree. But Matthew 21:21 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And in verse 22, he says, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Once again, scripture's taken out of context. All things, people will use that. They'll take stuff out. I think that's one of the biggest lessons people need to learn as they're listening. Like you talked about, the pretext. How'd you break it down? The pretext.
The context and the post-text.
Basically, you can't just take scripture in isolation and build a whole doctrine and movement around it. You got to understand what was really being said, who it was being said to, And what is even, is there a duration to that word? Even does every promise that was promised apply to us today just because it was promised to a certain specific people in that time? Does scripture say that there is a duration, or does it say that that promise goes not only to this person, but also to everyone who reads that scripture? Some things do, some things don't. So I think that's basically just proving the point of what you already said. You know, you have to be in him. He had a purpose also for even cursing the fig tree, and it was speaking to something bigger than just his own individual hunger. So even speaking to intention or motivation behind what we're speaking and asking for, he's going to measure all of that and weigh all of that out. Basically, we're not going to have everything that we say that we want out of our flesh just because our flesh wants it, and then use God to just or to justify the use the scriptures to justify wicked and evil or fleshly desires. That's my response to that.
Yeah, man, sounds good, man. Well, listen, we've done another good one, another one for the annals of time.
Yes, sir.
Books. We're gonna close out on this one. For all those that's been listening, once again, this is the New Numa Godcast. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you like the video, share the video, leave comments under the video. If there's questions that you have, maybe there's something that you can ask that it'll make me think about something I didn't think about. And, you know, I will try to answer every question or any comment that's underneath this video. But bottom line is, this was meant to at least start to open up your eyes to certain things that are out there that's been misquoted, misappropriated, and misunderstood. So once again, man, thank you for being on here with me, Terrence. I appreciate you.
Always bringing some
good knowledge. I got to talk to you offline about something you brought up tonight. But building with you. Once again, you've been listening to New Numa Godcast. I'm excited about the future. I need y'all to help to support this channel. Make sure it grows, okay? Got some good things coming for you. So once again, this is New Numa Godcast. I'm your host, Norm the Professor. Peace. Thanks for listening to the New Numa Godcast once again. This is your host, Norm. Follow me at Norm the Professor on IG. I'm in agreement for power and breakthrough in your life. Keep tuning in every week for that real talk, new life.